Hare Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaveryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
A strong sense of love is required here. If we have a strong sense of love for the Supreme Lord, then we can discharge our duty and at the same time remember Him. So we have to develop that sense of love. Arjuna, for instance, was always thinking of Krishna. Out of 24 hours, not for a second, could he forget Krishna. He was the constant companion of Krishna, and at the same time he was a warrior. Krishna did not advise him to give up the fighting to go to the forest or to the Himalaya to meditate. When Krishna delineates the yoga system to Arjuna, Arjuna says that the practice of the system is not possible for him. Arjuna uvacha, yoyam yogas toya prokta sam yeta madhusudana etasyaham napashyami chanchalatvat stitim stiram. Arjuna said, O Madhusudan, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. Then the Lord says, Yoginam apisarvesham matgatennantaratmana shradhavan bhajate yomam sameyuktattamo mata. Of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service. Loving service to me is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. It's always important to note that Krishna is giving the directions in the scripture. Now, all these things are bona fide directions, but much of the time they may be for various kinds of situations, various personalities, various mentalities. So when Krishna says, this is my opinion, which he does many times in Gita, so what's to be understood that is the option. Out of so many options that he gives, that's the one to be taken, right? Not something else. So it's not a matter of speculation or like that. It's a matter of this is it. Because Krishna said, this is my opinion. Because remember, he makes the point that, you know, he's the creator, he maintains the world, he does everything, but then he as a person is beyond that. Right? In other words, Krishna is God, and then he's a person. Right? We always have to remember, God's a post. So the person in the post, you know, has a personality. Right? You know, you have the president of the country, but he also is a person. Right? Does that make sense? So as God, so many directions are given. But as a person, then he says, this is my opinion. Right? In other words, that's what he prefers. That's what the actual purpose is. But because it's a voluntary process, you can take it or not. Right? So that's why it's presented in that way. But then he'll say, this is my opinion. This is, in other words, this is his recommendation. So one who thinks of the Supreme Lord always is the greatest yogi, the supermost jnani, and the greatest devotee at the same time. The Lord advises Arjuna that as a kshatriya, he cannot give up his fighting. He has to fight. But if Arjuna practices remembering Krishna, then he will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. Again, he says that there is no doubt if one is completely surrendered in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So this element of surrender is very, very important. This faith is what Krishna's opinion here. Right? Great faith always abides in me, thinks of me, and renders transcendental loving service. Right? So that is the most close. It's not some technical thing. It's not some intellectual thing. Right? It's not a particular ritual. That's not what makes the yoga complete or yoga intimate. It's because of faith, always remembering Krishna out of that affection, rendering service like that out of affection. Right? So it's personal. It's a relationship. Does that make sense? We're so used to that religion means ritual. But actually, ritual is only to express, one's intentions, one's feelings. Right? Because if you look, any ritual has some spiritual significance to it. That's why it's done. But then, why is that ritual performed? Right? It has something that it does. But also, why would you be doing something? Right? That's the point. One's performing ritual. Why is one doing that ritual? Right? The ritual does something, yes. But why are we doing that ritual? Right? That's the question. Right? So that's the personal element. So when that is being done out of faith, out of affection, that then impresses the Lord. Otherwise, ritual is ritual. Right? You do it because you're going to get something from it. You do the ritual and you'll get some benefit from it. Right? Does that make sense? So the idea is that it has to be something more than that. Right? Then it takes on that personal element that people are very happy. Yes? Why? Because God's happy. So here he's not recommending giving up the work. Whatever is one's nature, that must be engaged. Right? Does that make sense? So at whatever level, now here he's recommending that it be done, as service to him. So that's the best way to engage one's nature, is that it obviously what one is doing is connected to the Lord, right? It's directly connected. You're doing this, because this is, what you should be doing. Otherwise, then one would be doing the same kind of work, but, for oneself to some degree or more, offering the results more or less to Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's not that the nature changes. It's a matter of what is the environment you apply it in. Is it more pure or less pure? Is it more, aim to please Krishna or less? Does that make sense? That's the options that you're dealing with. Does it make sense? Sometimes we think, you have to change your nature. No, that won't happen. Right? What's going to happen is you can purify it. You can engage it. But you can't change your nature. Sometimes you hear devotees, this devotee, he has to change his nature. He's like, that's not going to happen. They want to change his personality, change his nature. That won't happen. That's why we call it conditioned nature. It's the way it is. Right? So it's a matter of purifying it. Because any quality in its pure state is nice, because all qualities ultimately go back to Krishna. Right? So the problem's not the quality. The problem is this lack of purity. You know what I'm saying? What's the difference between someone who's, in your face and someone who's very congenial? Right? They are both socially aggressive, right? They'll come forward, they'll just come right up to you, start talking. right? The one's got his agenda and everything like that, got his own purposes for himself. And the other is just, he's a pleasant, nice guy, and just he's interacting. Does that make sense? So that's the point. It's a matter of if quality is pure or not. Like that. Someone manages trying to organize everything for themselves, get everything they want. Someone else manages to get everything done nicely for Krishna. Make sense? So that's why Arjuna is in a state of bewilderment. So how is he going to get purified? By engaging his nature in Krishna's service. He's nicely Krishna conscious, well situated. Then how will that continue? By engaging his nature in Krishna's service. Right? Did we notice the subtle difference there? What was the difference?
He was engaged in Krishna's service. His nature.
Yes. And then the other one?
I was still writing that down.
And there's no difference. Like that. There's no difference. The point is that whatever the situation, you're going to be engaging your nature in Krishna's service. So this idea is that you're going to purify yourself by not engaging your nature, that doesn't work. That's not what Gita is saying. Arjuna is in Maya here. Remember that. And what's the recommendation? Perform his duties. Right? And then when he's Krishna conscious at the end of the Gita, what does he do? Perform his duties. Right? So we would see, Srila Prabhupada, whatever state someone was in, they would do their service. Someone was a manager, even if they had gotten into Maya, he would have them manage because that was what they can do for Krishna. That way they'll be absorbed. If body, mind, and words aren't absorbed, that's not called Krishna consciousness. Right? You know, and when we say, oh, well, they're not in a pure state, they won't be done nicely. But Krishna says, better to do your own duty, not so nice, than someone else's nicely. You understand? Because that, you're going to engage your conditioned nature. Right? Of course, Krishna expects some proper attitude. Right? Does that make sense? If someone has problems and he has attitude about it, then that's not going to work either. Because where's the yoga? Where's the connection? But if the person understands it's not an ideal situation or ideal mentality, with that he still tries to engage himself, then one will be purified. Because otherwise, if we were looking for perfection, then who would be able to take up Krishna consciousness? Right? You know, we should put up a sign. Those who are liberated, please step forward for a higher taste. You know, you think Brahman realization is great, wait till you try the taste of bhakti, right? You know, like that. So we can put up advertisements and that. Yeah. So we'll get a lot of people coming. Right. Maybe not so many. I'm sure you'll be there. But.
Just on that point, thank you. Is there something that the, you know, if a devotee was their manager and then he went away, is there some level though with their sadhana and chanting and so forth that Prabhupada would...
Is there something, means in other words, when they understand that, you know, that there was a problem and they could practice nicely, then they would continue. That's the point, is that, you know, they're there doing the service and then they may get distracted for some time, and when they understand that distraction, they come back and they practice just like before. So it's like a, yeah.
I have to be situated in this, I don't know, first and then
See, there's an over concern, not that there shouldn't be a concern, on that he has to be situated. That, no, the point is that you only be purified by engaging in nature. Because what happens when you emphasize this, that's all that's looked at. And then, if somebody looks with a, you know, a magnifying glass, it'll never be right.
No, but the basics of 16 rounds.
Yes, that's there. We're not saying that that's not there. But having said that, is that the standard in society today?
I'm not in the leaders of two.
It should be, but is it?
I don't know.
You know, where are the big guys?
I don't know.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You know, so it's not thought of like that, because once you, you know, because of the concept of eternal damnation. You know what I'm saying?
That's kept the big guys from coming back.
I keep so many people from coming and taking up something because then, you know, oh, he did this, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You know, now if you're going to make a comment about some of the big guys, when did they go away? 1980 what? You know what I'm saying? And now is 2000 and what? You know, so over 20 years, but still, no, but he, you know, it's like that. It's eternal damnation.
People still say like that?
I hear it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it's like that. Is that the element is what we're missing here is this point that Arjuna, Krishna is making, that you're going to be purified by performing your religious duties. That's the point here. It's not a matter of, oh, what about morality? What about this, that? It's a matter of how, what is the efficient way to purify yourself? That's the thing. So it's only by engaging your nature. How are you going to get purified? By doing something that partially engages your nature, or by doing something that fully engages your nature? Right? And if you expect perfection, who's perfect? You know what I'm saying? If we take what is the actual standard, like that, of you know, where's a Pancharatra Pradeep? Huh? Can you bring the second volume? We take what's the actual standards of things based on material qualification, like that, one might actually doubt whether one has come to the standard. You know what I'm saying? You know, you read those nine qualities of a Brahmin. That's what they have. That's what they're cultivating. Not that they don't have them and, you know, they're starting to, you know, practice them. You know, they have those qualities, that's why they're a Brahmin. Does that make sense? That's the point.
It's uninspiring to the individual too. If they can't engage properly.
No, you can't engage properly because if you make any mistake, you're finished. So therefore, why you'll put in the endeavor? Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. So Krishna is here recommending that no, You have to be focused on your duty. That's why he keeps saying, perform your duty. Because that's the way you're going to become God conscious. You're not going to become God conscious in another way. You know? Yes?
I'm an artist and I started to appreciate and believe in God through the art. Because my teacher was telling that whatever we are all individuals, we will all paint differently the nature, but still he said nobody can surpass the nature. So and then he was telling, show me your picture, I will tell what is your character. And he was exactly here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I was thinking, so the nature is so beautiful, who created that nature, what character has that person? And also when I was serious in the art, I appreciate everybody, whoever paints something. Some people criticize, no, there is one small piece that she paints so beautiful, she's me. So I wish I would be in Krishna concert like that.
Yeah, so it's just practice.
If we're serious, we appreciate.
Because that's what's being talked about now in the Bhagavatam, what Kapila Muni is describing. He's brought it up many, many times of seeing all souls equally. Right? Because one has to be able to see that everybody is the soul, not the body. You know what I'm saying? When we say, oh, this one, this, that one, that, we're not seeing souls, we're seeing bodies. Right? That's why we're saying those things. We see it, we can say that, yes, their conditioned nature, they're responding like this due to their conditioning, but that's not actually the position of the soul. Right? So that's how you are able to forgive. Brahman, his most prominent quality is the ability of forgiveness. Does that make sense? Forgiveness is the most prominent quality. That's how the culture works. If Brahmins didn't forgive people, there wouldn't be any people left. Because who does everything perfect? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is because they're forgiving, therefore the whole society works. As they're forgiving, then others are forgiving. Right? So that's the main thing. But if we don't forgive, then how the culture will go on? Because conditioned nature means you'll make mistakes. But the soul's not the conditioned nature. Therefore, you know, that forgiving is because there is something higher. Does that make sense? Right? The child is forgiven because they have potential to do better. Right? They're a human being, right? So they have that potential, but they're a kid, they make mistakes. So in the same way, the soul being conditioned then makes mistakes, but the soul by nature doesn't. Does that make sense? So that's why in Gita mentions seeing in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, the living entities. Passion, you think they're different. These living entities are different from those living entities. Right? Ignorance is you don't even see living entities. You just see bodies. Right? Like that. And goodness means you see them all the same. Doesn't matter what species of life or where, the quality of the soul is the same. You know, then you just see the covering. Yeah? Yes, no?
Let's see, if we are mainly influenced by Rajas and Tamaguna.
If we are, let's say, just for find some random combination, okay?
First we have to advance to Sattva-gun.
First we have to advance to Sattva-gun. First means on this list of first, where are you going to?
And then to the Shuddha-sattva.
And then to the Shuddha-sattva. And then?
Is that means that your work is changing? While you are advancing slowly?
Why would your work change?
Well, maybe because your qualities are changing.
Why would your qualities be changing?
Because the modes are changing.
The modes are changing. Okay. You're in the kitchen. You pull out the knife. You pull out the cutting board. You take a potato, put it on the cutting board, and cut it in half. What modes were at work? All three, but doing what?
That's volume one. That's volume one.
Volume two?
Oh, supplement to volume one. Yes, this is volume one.
You understand? The modes change. Right? You're destroying the form of the potato, that's the mode of ignorance. Your action is going on, that's the mode of passion. Right? You know what I'm saying? So, now let us say you're a pure devotee. Do the modes that are dealing with the cutting of the potato change? No. What if you're a pure unalloyed devotee? Do they change? No, okay. What if you're in your pure unalloyed devotion, you've advanced from prema up to, you know, man or something? Does it change? No. What if you get up to mahabhav? Does it change?
Yes, he will not eat at all.
Okay. So, you mean Mother Yashoda is not cooking things for Krishna and everybody and they're not eating? So one should always remember is that because someone does it here doesn't mean that it's not done there. So otherwise, favorite little readings. This is from Hari Bhakti Vilas, just so you know it's bona fide. And this is the qualifications for a bona fide disciple who may be trained and engaged in the deity worship. This is not a bona fide who's already finished and he's perfect. This is one, this is where it starts. This is the beginning. This is what the guru looks for, and this person he initiates. Okay? Keep this in mind when we start thinking about, you know, our leaders and, you know, guru TBCs and all that, that we use this nice, you know, standards there. But this is what we should be. He should be devoted to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. He should be fully capable of upholding the vows made to the spiritual master. It says fully. That means they just don't fall down. He should be engaged day and night in the Lord's service with body, mind, and words. He should be desirous of knowing the absolute truth. He should be spotless in character, truthful, gentle, and polite, pleasing in appearance, and intelligent. He should show proper respect to elders, to initiated Vaishnavas, and to the Lord. He should observe silence concerning material subjects and should have control of his senses. He should have no attraction for committing sinful activities. Right? So that's what happened. Then the bona fide disciple should not possess the following characteristics. These should not be there. He should not be lazy, dirty, sickly, continually afflicted, or lamenting, angry, proud, lusty, or coveting material desires. He should not show the enjoying mood. He should not indulge in sinful activities such as taking meat, intoxication, gambling, or illicit sex. He should not earn a living by unjust means. Now, this is Hari Bhakti Vilas, so those four regulative principles were mentioned there. So sometimes people try to say Prabhupada invented those, but they're not actually, you know, like that. And they go back, Manu mentions them, right? So that's the beginning of creation. Lord Brahma is talking about them. So that's a few trillion years ago. So they've been around. He should not use vulgar or coarse language, should not be critical of others, should not be miserly, malicious, devious, or envious. He should not give pain to others or be addicted to cruel activities. He should not be ignorant, nor should he be proud of material learning. He should not indulge in non-Vaishnava philosophies. He should not be addicted to overeating. That's a finished off all the brahmacharis. Right? Like that. The following rules of etiquette should be observed by the bona fide disciple in relation to the spiritual master. He should fall down like an uprooted tree, dandavat, on seeing the spiritual master. When the spiritual master approaches, he should face him, and when he leaves, he should follow him. He should not leave the spiritual master's presence without asking permission. He should not utter the spiritual master's name inattentively, but always with respect. He should not imitate the gait, activities, or voice of the spiritual master. He should always hold the spiritual master's words in great respect. Though he may be punished by the spiritual master, he should not take it unkindly. He should not hear criticism of the spiritual master, the scriptures, or the Lord, but should leave the place immediately. He should not step on the spiritual master's garland, bed, shoes, ashram, shadow, or eating table. He should not spread his legs before the spiritual master, nor should he yawn, laugh, or make disrespectful noises before him. Right? Laugh means, it means if you're in a, how you say, you know, you're discussing and you're laughing, that's one thing. It doesn't mean when you're with the spiritual master, you're sitting on the side with your friends and having a good laugh about something. That's what it means. He should not sit on an asan or bed before the spiritual master. He should not worship others in preference to the spiritual master. He should not give diksha or give scriptural explanations or show superiority in front of the spiritual master. He should not give orders to the spiritual master, but always obey him. He should treat the spiritual master, with similar respect. He should treat the wife, son, and relatives of the spiritual master as the spiritual master, but he should not clean the body of the son, take the remnants, or wash his feet. Okay. So that's where discipleship starts. If that's not there, technically you shouldn't be initiated. You understand? That's the point. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So that's why the thing is whatever one's condition, one engages what he has in Krishna's service. Because if we're saying, oh, until they're, you know, on this platform or that platform, who's deciding the platform? Who made up the platform? Is it Shastra? That's the point. That's why then we have to go back to God's opinion. Because this is what he says. This is what he says you should look for. Yes?
Does that mean I need to wait until we develop all of those qualities that we shouldn't take in this condition?
No. What we're saying is, we're using it in the reverse, is since we are endeavoring for those qualities and we are still able to take up the initiation process. So someone's endeavoring for the qualities of being a good leader or a good manager or a good, temple president, a good, Sankirtan leader, Bhukta, anything like that, is that they're making that endeavor even though they don't have it, then it still works. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is we go on to think, well, because they did this then, and so therefore they can't either be trusted with it, or until they come to this platform, they can't, you know, take up devotional service, like this kind of thing. Then if we went by that standard, then who would be qualified in the first place? You know, that's my point. You know, if we're going to say, you know, it's Kali Yuga, you know, things don't work. So it's Kali Yuga, so the Kali Yuga things don't work either. You know what I'm saying? If you check, the Kali Yuga systems don't work. They don't work so good. Do they work so good? Right? Kali Yuga marriages are great, right? You know, Kali Yuga friendships, you know, like that. Kali Yuga economics, like that. You know, somebody sneezes and the stock market crashes, you know. Like that. You know, I mean, it's like that. You know, we don't know all these things. There's announcements that come out that tell you what things are coming up. What is going to happen. Like at this point, then, the Congress just passed this rule and it will come out on the, you know, and be official on this time. And when that comes out, depending upon what it is, the market goes up or down. There's all kinds of stuff like that. So when we say, you know, somebody sneezes or yawns, we're not joking. So how efficient is it? So the Kali Yuga stuff doesn't work so good. Right? So if we want Satya Yuga stuff, then we have to use the methods. Right? We can't just partially use them. Does that make sense? Like that. We can't partially use them. You know, somehow or another, before you're a devotee, any nonsense just goes away by the chanting of the holy name. But if you are a devotee, and then if you did any nonsense, even if it's not so significant, then it just doesn't go away because you were a devotee. Does that make any logical sense? At all? No. Right? Have you heard people say this?
Yeah.
So that's the point. It doesn't make any sense. Like that. So that's what we're talking about here. Is the understanding that it's only through the performance of your prescribed duties that you get purified. You're not going to get purified by another method. You know, I mean, of course, if you can just sit down and just chant Hare Krishna all day, then great. But if you can't do that, then you'd do well to engage your nature. Yes?
Krishna even warns against criticizing those who act, even if someone...
It is, yeah, very criticizing. There's one, I think he's, one Sri Vaishnava, after seven generations from Ramanuja, then he documented all the etiquettes that were just, that Ramanuja taught. I guess he felt that maybe it was, you know, people weren't knowing it so well. You know, before it was just handed down so nicely, so he documented it. And that's one of the things he mentioned. Somebody does something, you know, wrong, let's say sinful or whatever it is. The person who criticizes him for that sinful activity gets a bad reaction. Like that. And you know what's even more fun? The person who criticizes the person criticizing the person also gets a reaction. You understand? So the whole idea is that because what are we criticizing? That's where the thing is. As we see, Prabhupada be very strong on things. Krishna is very strong on things. He tells Arjuna, you know, you're a fool. That's, you know, how he opens the second chapter. Arjuna said so many nice things. And after saying all these different things, Krishna says, you're a fool. Right? But what is criticizing the understanding, not the individual. That's the point. The soul is pure, just the understanding right now. So change that understanding and then everything's fine. Right? So in other words, if we identify the person with the activity, then you have a problem, because then you're actually seeing through the mode of passion. Because then you're identifying your soul with that activity. You know. Does that make sense? That activity, that situation like that. But the soul's not. The soul's separate. So the conditioned nature may be influenced by that. But so you're dealing with that aspect of the conditioned nature is not useful for Krishna consciousness. Right? So it gets in the way of your being Krishna conscious. It's not a matter of it disturbs someone's sentiments, this, that. Because if we're looking at disturbing sentiments, then the only actual way to know if we're disturbing or not is to look at Varnashram. Because the modern society, where is one particular, how you say, the rapper wants to, you know, express himself, you know, his constitutional right of free speech. But other people, they also want the, you know, their rights to not have to listen to, you know, all the stupid stuff he says. You know what I'm saying? You know? Like that. And it goes up to the Supreme Court, this stuff. Why? Because they don't have definition. It's not defined. How do you know what is someone's nature? Like that. It's not defined. So only the Vedic system defines that. So if we want to discuss rights, then you have to look at the Vedic culture. Otherwise, how do you know it's rights? Because your right cannot impinge on someone else's right. That's the whole point. Right? When it comes to someone else's right, then it's your duty. Whereas your rights, it's their duty. Does this make sense? Yes.
How about gives that example, like to call a thief an honest man is the problem. To call a thief a thief is not.
Yes, a thief an honest man is the problem. Yeah, but a thief is not a problem.
So
or if you call an honest man a thief, that's also a problem. Yes, you said, but that's according to Manu for a king. To call a thief an honest man, then the problem is he can do that, but the sin of thieving, stealing has to go somewhere, so the king takes it himself. If the king pronounces that the person is not a thief, then he's purified. He's not a thief anymore. He may do it again by his mentality, but the reaction he's not liable to because the king has pronounced he's not. But where does it go? It goes to the king. You know, so that's the problem in the modern, is that people are pronouncing that something that's bad is all right. And so the person is freed from that. He's not freed from the desire seeds, so therefore he'll do nonsense again. But he's freed from the reaction. But that reaction goes to that leader who's pronounced it. You know what I'm saying? So it is a Vedic thing, is that to call a thief an honest man is not right. Right?
Yeah.
Like that.
In that case, what I meant to say then is what Prabhupada actually said, which is that to call an honest man a thief is wrong, but to call it a thief.
Thief a thief, yeah.
So what, what place does that have in devotional service?
Like what place does it have?
If you're managing or something, then...
If you're managing, in other words, those who are dependents, you can criticize. Right? If it's for their benefit, how they can improve and develop themselves, Krishna consciousness. But it has to be for their development.
But above that, to isolate a mentality to say, look, this is not right because of this and this, therefore we're not going to do like that, we're going to do like this. Like, how?
Yeah, basically. Point is that
it's not criticism,
an activity is either useful in Krishna consciousness or not. That's the bottom line. Does it connect to Krishna or not? That's what we're looking for. Right? You know, then the forms of it, then you have your forms of what activities will be there. But their being good or bad is dependent upon how useful they are for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. Is that it's being good or not is dependent upon whether it connects to Krishna. good doesn't stand on its own without Krishna. This idea is that, oh, you know, you can have good and bad like this. How do you define it? How do you define what's good clothes, good etiquette, good behavior, good standards? Right? Unless it's connected to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So it either is connected. So how do we know it's connected to Krishna? Because it's given by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Otherwise, if it has another source, how do we know it's even bona fide? You know? I mean, how many times have we seen that the materialist is so convinced about something that it's important, and then sometime later it's not? You know? I mean, it's just like, what was this? Like a couple of years ago, then the church has to say sorry for, you know, various little programs that they had, you know, over the years, you know, how they've dealt with the Jews, or I'm not sure. I think they even said sorry for the Spanish Inquisition, but I'm not sure if they went that far. But you know, certain things like that, because it's just at the time it seems like a great idea, but later on it's not. Why? Because it's not. Where is it based? What's its basis? Does that make sense? So that's the point. But if someone's not a dependent, then there's not so much business dealing with that. Right? You may, if you have other dependents so that they don't become distracted by that, you may point out what is there. But it has to be in such a way it's educational. In other words, the whole idea is the criticism has to be uplifting. If it is able to correct and bring it to the proper standard, then it's of use. You know, either for the person or for others. But if it's just to criticize just because, you know, you're having a bad hair day, then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes?
Sometimes in the name of protecting the society, a devotee is defamed.
A devotee is defamed. In the name of protecting society. But the point is what devotee is there that works with the whole society? You know of anybody? He has influence in all 400 temples and, you know, how you say, you got 50 restaurants and so many farms that are that powerful. You know, so therefore, wherever they are, if there's actually a problem, let the people know in the locale. That's all you have to do. And they only need to know because they have to work and engage them and just to see that whatever their weaknesses are not brought to the front. Whatever their strengths are, then that's engaged. So they're engaged. You know what I'm saying? You can't not engage somebody like that. You have to find what's suitable. But that claiming that you are going to save the society by defaming someone, it doesn't really work. You know, in the five Mahapaps, the five great sins, right? That everything means these are the five great sins. Everything else are less than this. But killing a Brahmin, right? Stealing from a Brahmin. Sleeping, you know, with the Brahmin's wife, associating with people who do that, and intoxication. These are the five main sins. Right? So now, with the level of killing a Brahmin, there are sins that are equal to it. So one of them is defaming the Brahmin. You defame him, it's as good as killing him. You get the same reaction. You know what I'm saying? So it's not light. There's no bigger sin than killing a Brahmin in the Vedic culture. So defaming him is just as bad. You understand? But devotees think, oh, because it's for the higher purpose. But the higher purpose never uses these things. Like that. Also interesting, other animals are down in the lower, but killing cows is also on that level. Right? So, you know, that's the whole thing. It's generally it's symptomatic of the malechas. You know, that they are so eager and quick to criticize. Good point. If you can kill cows, you can kill Brahmins. What's the big deal? You know what I'm saying? So it's not seen as something very distant. You know? That makes sense. So it's not a process that would be used. Prabhupada got very angry with some devotees for doing that. One senior devotee had a problem, another senior devotee made it public, probably got very angry. You know, because the point is Krishna consciousness, not morality. Otherwise, if we're talking morality, why would we even bother going to the West? Why would this movement even bother crossing the ocean? You know what I'm saying? You know, the man's a good, upstanding, you know, person. You know, he, you know, goes to his church regularly. You know, he's a member of the Rotary Club. He gives in charity. But if you look at his personal life, he's very sinful. You know, so many questions about his business and other things like that, they're not moral. You know what I'm saying? So, if you know, where's this basis? Does that make sense? So we have to be very, very careful when we're dealing these things to know what we're dealing with. We chant Hare Krishna, yes, but that doesn't mean we don't follow the etiquette given by God. Otherwise, what are you going to do in the spiritual world? You're going to go to the spiritual world and chant Hare Krishna and not follow any of the rules? You know what I'm saying? So what are you going to do? You know, your mother just showed his house and everything like that, and so you'll yell and scream you like because it's your free will and your right to express yourself and all this and that. You know what I'm saying? What's going to be the establishment? You know, mother sure will tell you to cook like this, but no, you'll cook like that because you think it's more healthy.
One occasion that this took place, then there was an article published by the Carlos in the newspaper, and it was practically the same as the one that the devotees had written. And the devotees have written the article, what I heard was that we took the risk, but at least they appreciated the fact that we were open about it.
It's not exactly open about it, because open about it, then let's be open about more things. You know, how many things do we want to be open about? Why don't we say, hey, you know, we're a volunteer organization, so therefore people take up and do, you know, take leadership positions. You know, they don't really have the qualification because it's a volunteer organization. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is we were honest about it, but the thing is are they going to appreciate your philosophy? So just being honest is all that we're about. What is real honesty? Real honesty is what's good for Krishna. So, did the movement benefit by making all this public? Did the devotees around the world feel more inspired, more sheltered, more, you know, dynamic in Krishna consciousness? If they didn't, what's the meaning of honest? How is that honesty? You know what I'm saying? You can say these things, but at the same time as, you know, how, you know, by what standard are you basing it?
That's my question, I don't know.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing, is in our own practices, we have to be very careful about this. Because that's why etiquette is there, that's why duty is there. You know, what we're supposed to say and do. Because honesty doesn't necessarily mean facts. Honesty is the proper revelation of one's mood and feeling. So if the person who wrote all that that article that then got published by the Karmis they say they appreciated their honesty. We said that. They didn't necessarily say that. That's the point. We're saying that. That's called damage control. Did that person who wrote that article also make it publicly known that they have issues with authority? They actually have authority issues. They don't respect authority. Why don't they make that public? That's also honesty. You know what I'm saying? Why don't they make that public? That they don't have respect for the Vedic culture. They think, you know, these etiquette things are fanatical. Why don't they make that public? And if you really want to be honest, then you look at, are those the qualities that we want our leaders to have? And if it is, great, the person is qualified. If it's not, then the person should be honest and step down. So honesty goes a long way. You know, they only pull it out when they want to use facts and figures and think that that's reality. Facts and figures exist, but it doesn't make them reality. Reality is its connection to Krishna. If it's not connected to Krishna, it is illusion, no matter how honest and truthful it is. It's still illusion. Right? Yudhishthira not telling a lie for Krishna was illusion. That we have to remember. Morality is in support of dharma. And if someone's not performing their dharma, then no amount of artha or kama is going to make it any better. You know what I'm saying? One has to know the hierarchy of qualities. Right? That's what is dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Moksha is the highest, then dharma, then kama, and then lowest is, artha, then kama. Artha and kama are pursuance of religion. Religion gets you artha and kama. By religion, it gets you moksha. So therefore, the most important of them is religion. Right? But someone engaged in karma aspects of religion, someone expecting gyan, the person in gyan is more in a respectable position. Right? Because of their detachment. You're trying to get out of the material world, they're more detached. They're a little farther out than you. You understand? So that's why these things are there, so you know what's the hierarchy. Otherwise, you'll take a minor quality and elevate it to a position that it doesn't deserve. And important qualities will be demoted or even ignored. You know, what about the element of security? How do people feel that, it's like this. How would you feel? You have friends that no matter what you do, they're there for you and they'll figure out some way to get you through it. So even if you're completely in Maya, they'll figure out how to somehow or another convince you and get you back on your feet. Okay? Or another group of friends who are, very good and morally upstanding and very respectable persons, but if you do anything wrong, you're finished. They're not going to even talk to you and they're going to let everybody know what you're like just so you can't make any trouble for anybody else. Which of those two is going to make you secure? That's the point. So, now, will that dealings make anybody secure anywhere in the society? No. So, therefore, how is that service? You know what I'm saying? Previously, anybody did anything, everybody knew about it. But the person went on. There was something, there was some process there that was seen as properly Krishna conscious. And everybody was happy because they knew, okay, yeah, if I do some here, then, I should, chant more, this or that. No, they don't they ever tell you to chant more japa, hear more Bhagavatam, associate more with devotees? You've done something wrong. You should do this. No. So, therefore, where's the spiritual solution? Does that make sense? So, it doesn't work. That's the point. It hasn't worked. In reality, the position of the society, we're less known than we were 10 years ago. You know, it was better when it was worse. You know, back when we were all, crazy and that. People knew us. Now, we're so nice and politically correct. No one even knows who we are. And I'm not joking. They just don't know we exist. You know? When you can come into the New York airport and they've never heard of Hare Krishna, you know there's a problem. You know there's a problem. So that's the point. It's not working. Taking all these nice so-called New Agey, points are not very useful. Prabhupada says if you're a karmi, then if you're new age, then that's a little more subtle. There's more opening, there's more potential there. But to go from the devotional platform back to new age, that's like a dramatic step down. I mean dramatic. Right? So one has to know the standards. That's why Krishna is making these points. Because he sets the standard, not anybody else. No one else can set the standard except Krishna. You know, so that's what the Gita is opening. You have to start with that understanding. You start there. That's not, it's not a point of possible discussion. No, that's where it starts. If we don't start from Krishna's standards, Krishna's opinions, then what do we have? You know what I'm saying? So you see the practical result. From one of the most powerful, dynamic, Krishna-conscious driving forces in the movement to just another out-of-the-way, never-been-heard-of yatra in the movement. In one day. One day. That's even more record than the North European zone. At least it took 3 weeks there.
What are you talking about?
You ask him, he knows.
One day.
One day. Why? Because the solutions aren't Krishna conscious. The solution isn't how to see it all goes on. The solution is, we've used these strong Krishna conscious, you know, methods and all that. Now we'll replace them with all this, you know, touchy-feely, new-agey stuff, and then we'll see everything will naturally improve, just like everywhere else in the movement that's doing nothing. I think there's a song like that. Monday nothing, Tuesday nothing. The whole week was just nothing. Like that. You know the song? Yeah. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy. Probably am crazy. Okay, so do we understand the context that we're putting this in? All this we're showing is that if we're talking about standard, who's up to the standard? If we're talking about sincerely want to do something for Krishna, that's the qualification. Then whatever is one's ability, engage that in Krishna's service. That's what you can do. Otherwise, if you don't engage your nature, what are you going to do? Right? So that's the main thing. So if one's sincerely trying to perform one's service, then that's the best, as good as it gets. That's nuts. Because otherwise, if we want to put external rules on it, we got rules. You know, like that. We got rules. Like that. You know, and the modern systems aren't rules. They still aren't rules. You know, because even if they say, okay, we don't wear the Indian dress, you know, that's not a problem. So what should we wear? You'll get no answer. Absolutely no answer. You know, it's like that. You're like that, you just go on. You know, the Indian diet, we're not Indians, you know, we're Westerners, you know, we're from, you know, northern Siberia, so, you know, we're only used to eating, you know, skunks and opossums and stuff like that. So, you know, therefore, when we come to Krishna consciousness, you know, how are we supposed to eat all this, you know, healthy Indian food? Chew on pine trees, maybe. You know, so how do you establish then what's food? So people who say, okay, we don't eat, then what should you eat? What is food? Krishna says in the Gita, what are the ingredients? What are food? Amazingly, one of them was sugar. Amazing, lots of sugar. Yeah, so the point is that you'll have all these, so where do you get the standard from? How do you establish it? That's what's being seen. That's the illusion. It's just because you think it and you mention your friend and he agrees, then you think it's standard. The whole world should think like that or does think like that. You know, I talked to my friend, he'd think like that. And then I emailed another friend on the other side of the planet. He agreed. So now between the three of us, it's an international standard. Right? You know, like that. And actually, we're not exaggerating. We're not exaggerating. You know? So that's the thing, is we have to appreciate that the basis is this is what works. But it's not we're accepting it by sentiment. We're accepting it because we see scientifically it works. Right? That's a community, not people who sentimentally think the same thing, but who have on their own have come to the same conclusions. There you have a solid community. Because sentiment changes. But if you understand the science, you're convinced of the science, then there's no problem. So we see it's scientific that this is the approach.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi.